curiosity on what really matters. If you could ask any teenager what's on their mind, what do you think they would say?
Hey, I'm Yasmin.
Hey, I'm Tess.
I'm Milen.
I'm Agathe.
And I'm Adam.
We're transgender from Lycée Blaise Pascal in Clermont-Ferrand, France.
Welcome to Let the Youth Talk, a podcast where we'll talk about history and interesting facts about some English-speaking countries. We'll also shed light on popular topics among teenagers, and last but not least, guests from Canada, the USA, the UK will join us to share their views.
The first thing that comes up to most French people when they hear about Canada are usually hockey and snow. Did you know that people sometimes go to work ice skating on frozen lakes? Today, Hannah is joining us to talk about her country and answer a few questions we have. Hi, Anna, and welcome to Let the Youth Talk. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, my name's Hannah. I am your token Canadian. I'm also an English teacher here in Clermont-Ferrand, and thank you very much for having me on your podcast.
Thanks, you're welcome.
Canada has been a federation since 1867 and seems to be a strong and united state, at least from here. But is it really? Even though it is stable on a political standpoint, it is culturally torn apart between the four peoples who live there. Since the arrival of the French and British settlers, native Canadians have been victims of systemic prejudice and widespread bigotry by the Europeans.
Before 1996, at least 150,000 native children were abducted from their families by the Canadian colonial government and forcefully put in remote boarding schools called residential schools, where between getting sexually and mentally abused, they were forced to assimilate to the European way of life. As much as 25% of them died, whether from diseases, physical abuse, or suicide. The residential schools system has left deep scars on the mental health of Indigenous communities in Canada. Indeed, survivors often struggle with intergenerational trauma, stemming from the physical, emotional, and sexual abuse they endured, the forced separation of children from families, the loss of Indigenous culture identity, the systemic denial by the government led to higher rates of depression, anxiety, substance abuse, and suicide among Canadians of Native ascent compared to ones from European ancestry.
Have you ever wondered how Canada's history has shaped the mental health of younger generations? Today, we'll dive deep into this topic. Now a question to our guest, Hannah. In your opinion, to what extent have residential schools left mental scars on the younger generation?
In terms of the younger generation, I would say that according to the statistics in Canada, almost 50% of Indigenous children have depression or suicide ideation. I would say also on the stats that I read, there was something like incarceration rate, even though the Indigenous population is only about 2.5% of the total Canadian population, they make up 10% of the prison population, which goes to show how a lot of their traumas from being in residential schools has led to certain things like addictions. The majority of the homeless population in the large cities are Indigenous. And the irony, though, is that even though less than 70% of Indigenous youth live on reservations, the ones that live on reservations seem to have less depression than the ones that do not live on reservations. And I think this proximity to their culture and their family on reservations probably helps with them not feeling so alone. But once they try to assimilate into Canadian society, which is nothing like their culture, the rates of depression, suicide, Indigenous men have the highest rate of suicide in Canada. Indigenous women have the highest rates of rape. I think they are 8 times more likely to be raped.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And more likely to disappear as well, be kidnapped. And it just goes on and on and on. So I would say that the residual effects of the trauma of being separated from their families, sexually and mentally and physically abused in residential homes, and forced to cut off their cultures, their language, anything that they've known, has created what we see in the indigenous youth of today.
Thanks a lot. Now on to the next topic, teens under pressure.
So mental health has always been an issue, but nowadays more than ever. So let's talk about what it's like in Canada, France, and in the USA. We'll make sure to give you some tips on how to take care of your own mental health. We may now wonder, for teens' mental health in France, Canada, and the USA, what is the situation in these countries? What is done to tackle this issue? And what causes mental health issues for teens in both countries?
This impact in youth mental health is especially due to school pressure and social anxiety. Parents generally rated their children's mental health more positively than the youth themselves. According to The Daily, a Canadian newspaper, this decline in optimism was more pronounced among girls, 52%, and boys, 45%. Nowadays, Canada is one of the most involved countries with mental health issues. For example, the Department of Finance of Canada recently announced a trust fund that suggests helping younger Canadians so that they can have access to the mental health care they need. They already started with a budget of $500 million for the trust fund. The purpose of this trust fund is to build a happier, healthier future for every generation, to make life more affordable for people in need. It also helps Canada's economy to reach its full potential.
In 2021, 20.8% of 18 to 24 years old were affected by depression, compared to 11.7% in 2017. Among 17 years old, 9.5% were affected by severe anxiety, depressive symptoms in 2022, compared to 4.5% in 2017, and 18% had suicidal thoughts during the year, compared to 11% in 2017. We will now give you 5 tips to keep your mental health stable. Practice physical activity. Sleep enough and maintain regular sleep patterns. Take time for your hobbies. Help others. Practice gratitude. Did you know that the CRUS also offers an anonymous and free psychological support hotline? Psychologists are available 24/7 at 0800-730815 and also the 311 phone line to prevent suicide. Hannah will now answer a few questions we have. She'll first be able to give full and developed answers, but in the second part, she's only allowed to say yes or no.
Is Indigenous culture and history taught well in Canadian schools?
So when I was in school in the 90s and early 2000s, no, it was not taught at all. And I think probably because the last school was closed in 1997. So it was a secret they were trying to keep. We didn't learn anything about what was currently happening in Canada. We had learned vaguely a little bit about there's reservations, but all the reservations were super far north. And also whenever you went downtown, all the homeless people were Indigenous. So, you know, they would just reconfirm any sort of like prejudice by saying, well, you see, we give them kind of like how, I guess, chômeurs are seen in France, you know, like, oh, well, they're chômeurs, so obviously they're lazy or they're this or they're that. And it's like, well, actually, no, maybe there's something else, right? And so that was usually the story that was told to us. But yeah, we never knew anything either, which is, I mean, by design, mm-hmm. right?
Okay, the next question is, what was your favorite thing about living in Canada?
I would say probably the really snowy winters. I have to say, since living in Europe and now staring out the window, it's December and it's raining and it's 15 degrees outside. I miss having snow days, like where it would snow like 2 meters in one night, and we would like open the door and like my brother and I would look at each other. We were like, snow day, school is canceled. Like that, I miss that a lot.
What are some challenges people face in Canada that others might not know?
So sometimes when you would sleep and then wake up and there was 2 meters of snow and you couldn't open your door, or you couldn't start your car, or you couldn't get to work, that would probably be, like, that's probably unique to, like, a northern country that has that kind of snowfall, I would say, you know?
Okay, let's move to the next question. What are your favorite Canadian landmarks or historical sites?
Oh, God. Okay, so since I'm from Toronto, I would say that the most cliched historical landmark that I would take all any visiting friends to is the CN Tower, because you have to go up the tower and then you have to stand on the glass floor and feel
very dizzy
you know. But in terms of, like, I would say Canada is more about natural wonders, so you would take people to Niagara Falls. I mean, if you have time and you have the budget, like, to fly over and see some of the national parks that we have, which are crazy and insanely beautiful and majestic and vast. I think that is something about Canada and probably the United States as well, even though we're not talking about them, so we can delete that. I didn't mention the United States. Canada has an amazing natural reservation of, you know, untouched forests, glacier lakes. So that would be probably that.
Now to schools today, not residential schools. From your experience, do Canadian schools encourage students more to focus on academics or extracurricular activities?
Oh, you know, I would say that extracurriculars, at least when I was in high school, was a huge thing. So every student... the schools were very much into making sure that a certain percentage of the students got into university. And so they would always be like, if you want to get into university, you have to not only have good grades, that's just kind of like the base, but you also have to play an instrument, play a sport, and do something unique. And so that was very much kind of cultivated in a lot of the high schools. Like, you have to join band or choir. That was kind of mandatory at the high school I went to. And then you either have to do something athletic or do something artistic.
You talked about cars having issues starting in the winter. My dad went to Canada. It was a long time ago, I think it was in the 70s. And he told me that cars had, like, not wires, but like they were plugged in to houses in order for them to be able to restart in the morning. Have you seen things like that?
No, I've never seen things like that.
I mean,
like,
it was a long time ago, though.
And they were literally plugged in, like electric cars?
Yeah, but they were diesel or gas.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I've never seen that. I know that with Canadians, a lot of the houses are designed so that the garage is integrated into the home, so the car is not outside. And every Canadian had to have, those... what are those, like, electric starters?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, booster cables. Because often, if you couldn't start in the morning, the neighbors would be next to you and they would be boosting people's cars. Yeah. So, but I've never seen anyone plug anything in before. Well, wow. Look at that. Yay for us.
Don't ask our parents.
Yeah.
Maybe they know about
maybe
that.
Maybe your
parents. So now we're going to move on the yes or no question. So it's going to go pretty fast, because it's just yes or no.
Okay.
You can answer anything. You can't answer anything else. So my first question is hockey considered one of the country's most beloved sports?
Yes.
Do you think that Canadians are nicer than people from other countries?
No.
Do you often joke about Americans?
Yes.
Could you ever see yourself living in Canada again?
Yes and no.
Is it true that it is illegal to smell bad?
You know what? I just learned that from just recently. But I think it's illegal to make a public space smell bad. But I mean, I guess if it comes from you or your person.
Do you really put maple syrup in everything?
No, yes.
You have to expand on that.
I mean, I probably put maple syrup on more things than the average person. Yes.
So now I'm going to ask you some questions, and you can also develop the answer. So have you ever been in the middle of a snowstorm and questioned your life decision?
Yes.
Is it true that Canadians can survive the cold just by wearing a hoodie?
No. Oh, God, no.
Do you think every Canadian knows how to ice skate?
So, you know, I have to say, and I resent this question because I don't know how to skate. I'm Canadian. And at our school, we were forced to skate like 3 times a week because in Canada it gets so cold. So they would actually make a skating rink in all the elementary schools. They would pull out the hose and they would literally flood the cour. And so most, at least where I lived in my quartier, all the elementary schools had their own ice skating rink because all the kids would learn how to skate and do hockey from a very young age. And I was forced into skates 3 times a week from the time I was 6 years old, and I still cannot skate. So, no.
Do Canadians really have a special accent that everyone can recognize?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Are you generally offended when someone confuses Canadian and American culture?
Not really. I guess it depends on the context. It really does depend on the context, but not really.
Now we will have a quick news update on what's currently happening. So first, after months of twists and turns, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris' campaigns have come to an end. Donald Trump has won the 2024 US election with a landslide victory. His new term will begin on January 20, following the inauguration ceremony. President-elect Donald Trump is currently selecting his team, giving a key position to famous SpaceX and Tesla CEO Elon Musk.
Now, here's the story which caused an unprecedented frenzy on social media and exposed the stark realities of the American healthcare system. Luigi Mangione and the murder of the United Healthcare CEO. On December 4th, 2024, the CEO of the largest health insurer in the United States, United Healthcare, was shot and killed in Manhattan, New York, on his way to his company's annual investors meeting. The alleged shooter is 26-year-old Luigi Mangione, an Ivy League graduate coming from an influent Republican family. In his alleged manifesto published in the news, he calls attention to a devastating fact. According to CNBC, over 500,000 American families are pushed into bankruptcy each year because of medical bills alone. A number of these families are insured and trusted companies like United Healthcare to provide coverage, only to see their claims denied. Indeed, United Healthcare is reported to reject a higher percentage of insurance claims than any other health insurer in the country. Although Mangione's act is surely unjustifiable, the anger behind it highlights an undeniable truth. The US healthcare system is dominated by private insurers and leaves millions unprotected and burdened by impossible costs. This act of violence underscores the deep and growing frustration of the American people towards a privatized healthcare system that prioritizes profit over people.
Breaking news. Canada is Justin Trudeau's government on the brink of collapse. According to Yahoo News, Canadian Member of parliaments, and Canadian citizens are expressing leadership concern after the exit of Christian Freeland, a top Trudeau cabinet minister who revealed disagreement with the prime minister. Freeland's surprise resignation has sent shockwaves across Canada. Federal election will take place next year, probably putting an end to a decade of Trudeau-led Liberal Party governments. Hannah, would you like to share your view about Trudeau's potential collapse?
It's not that surprising, actually. Also, he's been in office for two terms, so it's probably time to let him go. I think Canadians feel about Justin Trudeau the same way that I assume French people feel about Macron. They kind of feel like, I feel like Macron is like the...
That's funny, you can do it again.
I feel like Emmanuel Macron is kind of like the French equivalent of Justin Trudeau. Like, they're young, they came in like gunslinging, everyone was like, woo, we need someone new, we need to inject some new blood into parliament, look at this, wow, they like, you know, they have liberal viewpoints, right? You know, they're gonna march in the gay pride parade, yay, how woke. And in fact, both of them have their hands deep in the pockets of all the banks, right? And so it is very much a woke capitalist at the end of the day. And so I think Justin Trudeau kind of had that same sort of like smoke and mirrors effect on the Canadian public in the same way. However, with Trump coming into office in the United States, and given that Canada and the US share a border, and Trump has a huge issue with borders, and always wants to build a wall wherever he goes, that is causing the bone of contention, because in fact he has threatened Canada with the tariffs that he is threatening every other country with. And because Canada and US economy is so integrated, as in like there are certain industries such as lumber and automobiles that are so integrated, as in like in order to finish a car, it literally has to cross the border 7 or 8 times, even though it's still technically considered a Canadian product, or something American will have to cross the border into Canada 7 or 8 times, even though it's an American product. And so that, if that were to, if the tariffs were to come, then it would just devastate businesses on both sides of the border. I know a lot of the members of parliament and the cabinet ministers were like, you know what, the last time that Trump was in office, he was a bit of a headache to deal with. And so this time we need to fight fire with fire. And if he's going to threaten us with tariffs and threaten us with, you know, we're putting up a wall because you're sending down a bunch of like fentanyl addicts, which is essentially what Trump actually said. Then the Canadian government thought, you know, Trudeau needs to take a stand and actually call his bluff and say, fine, if you're going to do this, we are going to cut off our resources. And the United States is very dependent on a lot of natural Canadian resources. But Trudeau, being Trudeau, actually conceded to Trump. And so that is why the Minister of Finance, she stepped down, because she was like, this is the most ridiculous thing. Financially, it's the most ridiculous thing to ever happen. And now the government, much like the French government, is in disarray. So there's that. I'm not surprised.
Thank you. Now we are going to talk about Mayotte. Tropical cyclone Chido devastates Mayotte in Indian Ocean. An intense tropical cyclone made a direct hit on the French Overseas Department of Mayotte, leading to catastrophic consequences for the population. We would like to send our support to our classmates whose families were touched by this terrible event. If you want to help, go to the fondationdefrance.org website.
So now we are going to talk about film industry and a special film that has a special place in my heart, Wicked. So we're going to give our opinions to kind of push you guys to go see Wicked, especially you, Hannah,
okay,
because you're our guest today. So we're going to give our little opinion about the movie. So here's this.
Okay, so Wicked was literally everything. I've been waiting for this movie for forever, like Milan, and it did not disappoint. The visuals were stunning, like the Emerald City, I'm still in awe. And the performances, absolutely amazing. Elphaba was perfect. She had all the strength that the character needs, but also the vulnerability. And Glinda, don't even get me started. Her comedic timing was chef's kiss. So funny, and but also super sweet when the movie got more serious.
I totally agree with this. Personally, for quick context, Elphaba is played by Cynthia Erivo, and Glinda is played by Ariana Grande. And I really love the musical of the movie, like some music, like popular, or What Is This Feeling. I listen to them every day. I love them so much. And it gave me goosebumps. And I also loved how they really explored the backstory of both main characters, so Elphaba and Glinda. And the movie is just so much fun, but it also has a deeper emotional layer to it. So I really loved it. And honestly, if you haven't seen it yet, okay, if you haven't seen it yet, run to the theater because it's amazing. It's one of the it's one of those movies that I know I'll be watching over and over, even when I'm 50 with my children. Oh, wow. Definitely the best thing I've ever seen in the world. And for me personally, this is my my own opinion. It's the best film that came out in 2024.
Okay. That is a bold statement. Can I ask a question just about Wicked?
Yes.
Just, you know, do you guys know that at Lush, you know how they have the Glinda and Elphaba body sprays?
Yes, I saw.
Have you guys smelled them?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. That was my question, because I was going to say, because I don't know anything about the movie, but if you were to say, yes, the Lush smells smell like their characters, I'd be like, okay, that would give me a better idea of their energy. Right?
But they made a lot of collab with a lot of things.
But now did you say we will definitely go and try it?
So we are going to talk about the music industry. So recently Kendrick Lamar released a new album. I think it's called GNX. I'm not sure. But I've listened to it anyway. And this is both opinion. Our favorite song is Luther by Kendrick Lamar. And he's featuring with CZA. SZA. SZA. This was how it was written. And we love SZA, especially Tess, she really loves her. And the music is magical. Magical.
Yes, I agree. And also, it's really important because in Wicked, there is Ariana Grande. And Kendrick Lamar is the favorite rapper of Ariana Grande. So it's linked. So we really think you should listen to the new album and go see Wicked.
Exactly. So now that's the end of our first podcast. So I hope everyone enjoyed it and that you guys learn a few things about Canada and mental health.
The second episode of Let the Youth Talk will be released next trimester. We hope you'll enjoy it as much as that one. New guest, new country.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy holiday to you and your loved ones.